I am that because my whole life is always in transition. And I think if we will admit it to ourselves, most of our lives are always in transition. Nothing stays the same. So this is a time of discomfort, and you're welcome to call either Pastor Chris or me to talk if you need to. So that is all the announcements that I have at this particular time.
Behold and come to worship God. Behold and come to worship Jesus Christ. Behold and come to worship the Holy, Holy Spirit. Sing to the Lord a new song for the Lord. The Lord has done marvelous things. Break forth in joyous song and sing praises.
We'll sing praises to the Lord, for heaven and piano, raising our voices in joy and thanksgiving.
And come to worship and praise our Lord.
As you came in, there were ribbons by the doors that you are invited, and I know not everybody got the message. We're celebrating All Saints today. So if there are loved ones that you would like to remember today, or if you have people that have been significant in your life as an influence, even if they're still living, they may be very important and you'd like to raise their names to God, you may write their names on these ribbons. If you did not get a ribbon and you would like one, please wave and Cheryl will be glad to give you a ribbon and a pen, or Sharon will be glad to give you a ribbon that you can write, or ribbons that you can write names on, and then bring them forward at communion.
There is a time to praise. There is a time to pray. There is a time when we alone, individually, come before God to confess our sins, our faults. And there is a moment when we are together as church. We also come to confess our sins. Now it's time for a silent confession moment. Let's pray together. Eternal God, in every age, you have raised up men and women to live in faith. We confess that at times we are indifferent to our will. You call us to proclaim your name, but we are silent. You call us to do what is just, but we remain idle. You call us to live faithfully, but we are afraid. In your mercy, forgive us. Give us courage to follow in your way, joined with those from ages past who have served you with faith, hope, and love. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. If we confess our sins, He, Jesus Christ, who is faithful and just, will forgive us. Forgive all of us of our sins and from all unrighteousness. Be assured, you are forgiven. Amen.
We are the ways of men. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, other God. We are the works of men. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Jehovah. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. Jehovah, Jehovah. You are the Most High God. Jehovah. 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 You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God, Father God. You are the ways of men. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Father God. You are the ways of men. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Jehovah. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. You are the Most High. You are the Most High God. Jehovah is Jehovah. Jehovah, 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 you are the Most High, you are the Most High God.
At this time, we do share our joys and concerns, if you have any.
I'd like to ask for healing prayers for my daughter Jean and help for the psychiatric team that's caring for her at Butler. She was admitted on Wednesday. And I went to see her on Friday, and she just looks like a deer caught in the headlights. Oh, it's just so painful.
Good morning, everybody. I want to thank every one of you for the continuous prayers for my family. My younger brother passed away 2 weeks ago, and everyone is taking it very hard in the family. My mother is still alive. She's 97 years old. She still does not know that her son died. please continue to pray for us. I'll be traveling to Nigeria on the 15th. I'm also asking for Johnny Wilson. Yes. Thank you.
I have a joy. After a very long journey, I finally got a job in a vet clinic. I would like continued prayers for my health and the avoidance of a relapse, but thank everybody for the strength and encouragement and prayers along the way.
I have a joy. Greetings from Ghana. I came back last Sunday, and my mother is doing very well, as I was expected. And back home, it's tough, but the family is doing very well. So thank God for that.
I know you'll probably pray for this anyway, Bea, but let's pray for the election and that God would have mercy on us.
Prayers for our dear Helen. For healing in her life.
Prayers for my sister, Nancy Lockhart, who lives in Pennsylvania. She has surgery coming up on Thursday. Apparently, she and my brother went to the grandson's soccer game. And during the national anthem, they wanted to be able to view the flag. So she leaned out to look at the flag, fell off the bench, and tore her meniscus. I told her if she had followed Kaepernick, she'd be safe now. Her story is she did kneel, and the crowd beat her.
I'd just like to add to what the lady over there talking to her husband said. Lady talking to your husband, that's you. I'm just going to add to this. Our dear friend Trump claims he's a Christian, but from all I've read in the Bible, I haven't found anything that Jesus has said that would make me want to vote for him. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'd just like to pray for my mom. Everybody, if you could, I'd appreciate it. You see it deteriorating. She's not really saying much and stuff, so I hope she's all right. She's going to be 89. She's 89 years old yesterday, too. Just turned it.
Anyone else? Right there.
God bless you and cover you with every passion, every passion, with every person, be upon you, me, and Jesus.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Let us pray. O Lord, we come humbly before you this morning, conscious that without you we are nothing, conscious that we must depend upon you, And we pray for your great love and your wisdom to prevail in this world. We come approaching a week of great decision in this nation, and we pray, O Lord, that there will be peace surrounding this election, that people will be guided by wisdom rather than passions that are ungoverned. We pray, O Lord, that this nation may remain a leader in the world, and that our freedoms will always be preserved, and that we can celebrate the opportunity to gather always to worship you. We thank you, O God, for all of those who have fought so bravely and given their lives, as also this week we celebrate veterans. We are aware, O Lord, that many have served, have come home changed, injured in body and mind. We are aware that many have given their lives. We pray, O Lord, that they and their families may be surrounded by your loving presence. We pray, O Lord, for all of those who are sick, who need healing, whether it is from injuries or from illnesses. We pray that you will be with Nancy Lockhart, with CJ's daughter. We pray, O Lord, that you will be with those who grieve, who have lost loving parents. And we pray, O Lord, that they may know and have the assurance of your resurrection to walk with them in days that are difficult. We live in such a mobile society, Lord, and it seems that there are always comings and goings. And we pray you for safe travel for our loved ones, and we thank you with joy when they return safely. We pray that Kevin's mother is doing well. We pray for healing for Helen. We pray, O Lord, for your church, that we might be a witness to what justice means according to you, our God. We pray that all that we do will be a model of your love and your desire for all people to have exactly what they need and to be treated fairly and justly wherever they may be. Help us to open our hearts, give of our time and of our money to reach out to those who are homeless, who are hungry, who do not have adequate clothing or shelter. And we pray, O Lord, that your will for a good and perfect world will be realized. We come to you, O God, humbly knowing that you do answer prayers. Help us to accept your answers even when they are not the ones we wanted. Help us also to remember, Lord, that even no is an answer. May we know your peace in our hearts, and may we love you with our whole heart, mind, and strength. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. bow our heads as we pray to our Lord Jesus. Dear Lord, as we stand here in your holy house, help us to understand the writings in your holy book. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have to admit that I'm anxious to hear Pastor B's sermon because I found these readings difficult. Okay, Hebrews 12, 1 to 2, the epistle lesson. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And Luke 39, or rather Luke 20, 27 to 38. Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her. And so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. And in the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. And Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living, for to him all of them are alive. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our text this morning is following Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem. He and his disciples have been working their way to Jerusalem, and along the way he has healed people, he's taught in parables, he's met this chief tax collector named Zacchaeus, he has made the prediction of his death more than once now, and he has arrived in Jerusalem and gone to the temple and run all of the money changers out. So this follows that rather dramatic event in the temple. The Sadducees are not the ones we usually talk about. We usually talk about the Pharisees, right? But the Sadducees were very powerful teachers in the temple. They had a lot of control in the temple. The Pharisees and the Sadducees agreed about one thing, and that was that Jesus was a threat. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection, although the Pharisees did. The Sadducees believed in the Torah, and that was all that there was. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible. If it's not in those five books, then it doesn't exist. It doesn't happen. They don't believe in it. Therefore, they did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did accept the teachings of the Psalms, prophets, and they were familiar with Daniel and those kinds of books, and so they accepted those as well. They also would accept oral tradition and a lot of Judaism as it has come down to this time period in history is based on that oral tradition. And so that is basically, you know, a big difference between Pharisees and Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees come to Jesus and they pose a question. And they're hoping they can probably, at least they're probably hoping, I wasn't there, I don't know. But they're probably hoping that they can trick Jesus into betraying that he either is for the Pharisee point of view or for the Sadducees point of view. Or that they can somehow get some ammunition against him. This isn't the first time Jesus has been challenged. And so in the public arena, he is challenged yet again for a debate. Only this is not a two-way debate. It's basically they come and they present this whole long, ludicrous kind of case to him and expect him to figure it all out for them and not get himself in trouble. Well, this is all based on something that everybody's familiar with. It's a law that came out in Deuteronomy. It's called levirate marriage. If a husband dies and there are no children, then the brother of the deceased man is supposed to marry the widow. Make her his bride, sort of. And they are supposed to then have relationships so that they will be another there will be a child. If a child is born out of that relationship, then the deceased husband's name will be carried forth into history and everything will be good. Well, the Sadducees don't just leave it with one brother that she has to marry. The second one dies, the third one dies, the fourth one dies, the fifth one dies, the sixth one dies, and the seventh one dies. And after all of that, there are still no children. And so they come to Jesus and they say, now whose wife is she going to be? She's had seven husbands. Well, Jesus says the next life, that life he calls it, is not like this life. Because in that life, everyone is eternal like the angels. There's no need to procreate when you're eternal. Therefore, it doesn't matter. It's a different life. There is no husband. There is no wife. Everybody lives in an eternal state. And they are not identified by whose wife or husband they are, or what family they belong to, or any of those things. They are identified, according to this reading, as children of God and children of the resurrection. That trumps any other identity. And in this next life, women are not going to be property that are handed around from one to the next person anymore. And this next life is going to be very, very different. But Jesus was raised learning the Torah. And he learned it and knows it well. And so he says, you remember that story about Moses and the burning bush? Y'all remember it? God says, take off your shoes, you're on holy land or ground. And so he takes off his shoes, and God speaks to him out of this burning bush, which did not get burned up. And God says, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob. I am. Not I was. I am the God of all of these forefathers of the faith. Well, if God is still the God of all of those people, they are alive in a way that they are with God. They are still God's children. They are still children of the resurrection. Well, the scribes said, well answered, and the Sadducees kept their mouths shut. A very, very simple sort of story, but it is really an assurance that there is a resurrection. The problem for us is that we're caught in this world in between where things aren't exactly perfect, are they? There's a lot of anxiety and tension and fear and grief and pain and all kinds of things in this world. And so in some way or another, we have to deal with this world, not that world. When I was a kid growing up in the mountains of Kentucky, there was always waiting for the great by and by. Well, I don't believe in waiting for the great by and by, because God is the God of the here and now. And God is with us now. And we serve a Jesus who is a resurrected Jesus. And that's what Easter is all about. And that's what every single Sunday of the year is all about. Each one of these Sundays, and why I wear white, is because we're reminded every single Sunday that we serve a risen Lord. And God intends better for this world. Only problem is it hasn't arrived yet. And so we labor to do God's work in the here and now, trying to bring greater justice where there is injustice. And we're not alone, because we are surrounded by this huge cloud of witnesses. I don't know if you can sense the presence of all of these people who have gone before you or not. But to give you a fairly, maybe you'll consider it rather trite, example, this cloud of witnesses. There are four generations of my family who are Chicago Cubs fans. And so, as I watched that World Series, I saw in that crowd a cloud of witnesses. Because there were the grandparents, the great-grandparents, the great-great-grandparents that had never seen either of those other teams, either team, win. Their presence was almost palpable in those stands. There were people who went to the cemetery to listen to the games so they could listen to the game with their father who had cheered on that team for years. And there was a cloud of witnesses even within my family as we were attached by cell phones between Canada, Pakistan, Illinois, and Rhode Island. But there is that sense of history that you felt in those crowds of people. And whether it was the Cubs fans or the Indians fans, they were there, and I heard it said, and you probably did too, well, I'm here, this is for my whoever, dad, mom, grandparents. And so there are people we have who have gone before us who have left a very strong impression on who we are and who we have become. And most of us are here today because somebody affected us somewhere in our life and brought us to faith. I will never forget a wonderful minister named Howard Milkman. And if Howard Milkman had not wooed me back to the church, I wouldn't be here as a minister today, that's for sure. So there are these great people in our lives who help shape and form us. There are these people in these pages who have shaped and formed us. How can we live without remembering Abraham being called to leave everything behind and go to the place where God shows him to go? How can we forget this young girl who says, "May it be according to your will, God"? How can we forget Mary and Martha always welcoming Jesus to their home? And how can we forget Peter, who always spoke before he thought? You know, real human disciples. That's our cloud of witnesses. And we may not literally hear them cheering us on, but in Hebrews it's saying that they're there. They're part of that risen life, that life. And they are going to, in essence, be cheering us, hoping we can find our way. But the biggest cheerleader we have is Jesus, who it says in Hebrews, as we're running this race, it's a, you know, it's an image. How can we get it out of our mind? You know, races, ball games, huge crowds cheering people on. But Jesus is the one that is before us. He is the perfecter of our faith, as it says here. And so we follow Jesus, who endured every single pain and misery that we as humans endure, who knew grief, who knew hunger, who knew fatigue, who knew pain in the worst way. And he will lead us forward as we continue to try to bring this vision of God's great creation that we first heard in the Magnificat, when Mary says, "The mighty will be brought down. He's brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." And Jesus, when he first goes into ministry, says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and let the oppressed go free." That's what God wants. And in this in-between time, we have nothing to fear, even election outcomes. Because we have a risen Savior who is leading us, and a God who holds us in an embrace of love and in a promise of eternal life. So come what may, as Paul writes, we can never be separated from the love of God. Praise be to God. Let's stand and read together, okay, our affirmation of faith. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, we trust in one triune God, the Holy One of Israel, whom alone we worship and serve, with beginners in every time and place. We rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you. Be seated. It's time for giving of our tithes, offerings, and gifts. Our Lord has blessed us and given us so much. Let us give back to him.
still praying and praying together. Oh Lord, Lord God, by your grace we are running a race, surrounded by a cloud of witnesses, patriarchs, matriarchs, prophets and psalmists, disciples and evangelists, martyrs and saints. We thank you for their example. We praise you for their lives, lives of faith. We thank you for loved ones that are now resting in you, who guided us, nurture, and care for us. Loved ones as ancestors who worked and traveled, lived and died that we might be who we are, where we are, who we are. Your precious children and this community of believers.
Amen. We often talk about the church as a community. In our Western individualized world, this is kind of hard to remember sometimes. But we are, we're interrelated, we're intertwined with the lives of others in ways sometimes that we're not even aware. Whether we like to admit it or not, we're also very social creatures. So we also like to think that we are who we are because we worked really hard and we earned it. And that is, unless it is something that we do not like to do, of course, or something we don't like about ourselves, and then it's somebody else's fault. But nevertheless, it is obviously due to a lot of different experiences that we become who we are. And so we come this morning to honor those people.
Yet, if we are honest, much of what we are as human beings, we owe to other people. That's true. Especially in the church, most of us who have fathers and mothers in the faith, sometimes those who are our own parents, sometimes they are people who loved us and were patient with me, with us, when we were breathy teenagers. Some were teachers, pastors, youth ministers, Sunday school teachers who in small or large ways helped us grow and nurture us in life and in faith. We always stand in a large community, a community than just those who we are around us daily. For those who are older, many of those people who shaped our spiritual journey are gone now. But this is the time of year, the time near our Saints' Day, that the church calls us to remember our fathers, mothers in the faith. We truly are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. The church and its people across the centuries that were faithful to God and faithful to us.
This morning you've been given the opportunity to write on ribbons the names of dearly beloved ones who are departed. And it is at this moment that we will remember a member of our congregation who has gone to join the saints. So today we are remembering the one member of our congregation who has passed away this year, and that is Betty Pearson, a child of God, beloved by many. In memory of Betty. And this is also a time of remembering and honoring those who are living and those who have passed on and who have helped us individually in nurturing our faith. And so when you come forward for communion, I invite you to bring your ribbons and just lay them on the communion table. It won't matter where. Later this week, we will attach them to this and create our banner of our saints. And so I invite you to bring those forward with when you come forward for communion. And as we do this, we're remembering that we have all of the saints gathered around the table. In the opening words of communion, it says they will gather from the north and the south and the east and the west to sit at table in the kingdom of our Lord. And we say this every time we have communion almost. We are gathered together at the table of our Lord. And we come to our Lord's table remembering that he is a risen Lord and that we are celebrating that he is our risen Lord. And he gave us this meal to share in together, to remember Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And so I invite this morning everyone to come to this table. For it is in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are given the opportunity to feel the presence of our Lord. So come, come to the table. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
O Lord, Lord our God, creator of the universe, we praise you for the saints and martyrs, for the faithful in every age who have followed your Son and witnessed his resurrection. From every race and tongue, from every people and nation, you have gathered them into your realm. You have showed them the path of life and filled them with the joy of your presence. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Sent to be our Savior, he took our flesh and dwelt among us. To all who follow him, he gives abundant life.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. By your Spirit, unite us with the living Christ and all who dwell with him, that we may be one in ministry in every place. And as this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world. And now with the confidence of being the children of God, we pray together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, our Savior took bread, and after he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the wine that was on the table and he said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. So every time we break this bread and drink this cup, we are proclaiming the saving death of our risen Lord as we wait for him to come again. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come. Come to our Lord's table and share in the feast.
Thank you.
going through the world rejoicing that we are always surrounded by the love of God. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.